If you have a copy of God's Word, I want to invite you to take it and turn to John's Gospel, chapter 4. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, just sit and listen to the reading of His Word, and then we'll pray and bring the message that God has given to us for this opening, meeting off our gospel mission. John chapter 4, and we'll take the reading from the first verse. We'll read some verses and then jump down to some other verses. John chapter 4, and the verse number 1, let's hear the word of God. And therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, thus sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, and behold, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thine husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husbands, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto him, I know Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came on to him. We end our reading there. At the end of verse 30, let's just briefly pray, seek the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we come now to the preaching of thy word. Lord, we're conscious and aware that we need the Spirit's help and his infilling and his guiding, dear God, in this meeting house tonight. You know the sins of every man. Come, see a man which told me all things, whatsoever I have done. We know, dear God, that Christ knows all things about us tonight. We have the appearance of respectability, but yet, Lord, you know the heart. We pray tonight, O God, that you'll expose that heart through the preaching of thy word, and by the end of this meeting, that the response might be like this woman's response, that there might be a coming to Christ and a leaving of sin and a turning to him who alone can give us deep, lasting satisfaction. We'll answer our prayers because we offer them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The news traveled like wildfire through the town of Sychar. You'll never believe who's become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a talk. It was the talk of the town, across shop counters, over fruit stalls in the town square, down in the marketplace. The tongues of the town gossips were red hot as the news spread of this recent convert to the Lord Jesus Christ. Their response, I'm sure, was the same every time. You've got to be kidding. Surely not. That homewrecker, she's too great a sinner. The Saviour would have no time for the likes of her. But it was true. The woman that had caused 5 marriage breakups had become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. She had become a Christian. No one could deny the fact of the change within that woman's life, because she now was a living testimony of the truth that we find in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We want to, for the moments that we have to us, consider this woman here at Sychar's Well. I want to speak to you in the gospel in a message that I've entitled Salvation at Sychar's Well. Salvation at Sychar's Well. Because tonight you might be like this woman, the most unlikely character and candidate for God's salvation. You've come into this house with much baggage, much sin upon your sin account, and yet tonight you can leave like this woman, a new creature in Jesus Christ. And it all comes about when salvation visits your soul, as it did mine many years ago. I want you to see in the first place, I want you to notice the unlikely location. The unlikely location of this moment of salvation in this woman's life. Now the gospel record tells us of the Savior's journey from the southern part of Judea right through to the northern part of the region of Galilee. And in order for the Savior to get from Judea to Galilee, we read in the verse number 4 that he must needs go through Samaria. Traveling through Samaria, the Lord Jesus Christ, he now comes to a city called Sychar, where Jacob's Well is located. And it would be there, it would be in that very city, just outside that city, that the Savior would come into contact with this woman and save her by his marvelous, amazing, and glorious grace. It was the most likeliest of all locations. Whenever you think about it, whenever you think about God saving an individual, the most unlikeliest of all places. I say it was unlikely because of the town in which she resided, the town in which this lady lived, and the town in which she worked, and in the town in which she was eventually saved was called Sychar. That's the name that was given to the place. Now, the name of any place has significance. It often reflects something about that particular area. For example, the name Belfast, it means the mouth of the sandbanks. That's what Belfast means, the mouth of the sandbanks. And it obviously relates and reflects something about the position of that city on the very banks of the River Lagan. And so the name is significant, and it was no different in Bible times, because the name Sychar literally means an intensely alcoholic liquor. That's what the name means. It comes from a root verb that means to be tipsy or to be drunken. That's what the town literally meant. Now, Bible scholars believe that this town was so called because its inhabitants were infamous for the sin of drunkenness. They liked to drink. Sychar's name seems to suggest that this town, alcohol was readily available, if not manufactured. And that being the case, it was the most unlikeliest of places. It was more likely that there were more public houses in Sychar than there were places of worship. It was thus so named, an intensely alcoholic liquor. The point that I want to make is that this woman's environment, this woman's circumstances were not ideal for her to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. She lived in a town that was gripped by alcohol, and I tell you, where there's alcohol, there's sin. Where there's alcohol readily available, there is always sin. Her environment was not conducive for her to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman, she had all of this around her, and yet she still came to Christ. Maybe as you sit in this meeting house tonight, Your circumstances are not conducive for you to seeking after the Savior. As you consider tonight where you presently are, your present sinful condition, you would have to admit that your circumstances are not ideal for you to seek after the Savior. Let me explain. There might be a husband or a wife that's sitting tonight at home. And they have told you before you left the house tonight, they warned you not to become brainwashed by those religious fanatics down there in Port Nolan Free Presbyterian Church. And they've warned you that if you come home saved, good living as they would call it, born again, converted, whatever term you want to use, they've told you that the marriage is over, so don't be thinking about becoming a Christian tonight. Your circumstances are not conducive for you to seek Christ tonight. Maybe there are sinful practices in your life. Smoking, gambling, alcohol, pornography, drug taking, cohabiting with someone outside the marriage bond. And you know well that you would have to give up those things if you became a born-again Christian. And let me remind you that you will. You will. You'll have to give up the drinking, and you'll have to give up the gambling, and you'll have to give up whatever sinful practices you're involved in presently if you want to become a new creature in Jesus Christ. But God will give you the grace. Don't worry about that. He'll give you the help. He'll give you the strength to give up all of those things. But as you sit there, you think, well, how could I give up the cigarettes? I smoke about 20 a day. How could I give that up? How could I give up the drinking? I have to go to the bottle every day. How could I ever do that? I tell you, by the grace of God, He can save you tonight. And by His grace, He can bring you out of your sin. Don't worry about that, sir. He'll give you a new heart with new desires. And so worry not about that. Or maybe tonight, there are no Christians in your family. As you sit here, you could go down all of your family and there's not one person who's a Christian. You may be not normally in such a preaching house like this. Maybe the place that you go to, maybe there are statues, maybe there are altars, maybe there are confessional boxes in the corner, and maybe this isn't somewhere where you normally would attend. But can I say to you that though there be no other Christians in your family, if you became a Christian, God will give you a new family. Don't worry about that. God's family will become part of your family. Maybe you think, well, all my work colleagues, there's not one of them as a Christian. And if I went in tomorrow morning and told them that I became a Christian in a gospel mission, they would laugh at me. I was hearing just quite recently, our brother Stephen Castles was here in the summertime, and he was telling me about a young man. He was involved in a relationship with a young woman, but God was speaking to him by His Spirit, but it was always his work colleagues was hindering them from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And one night that young man, he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was concerned about his future wife or his girlfriend that he was hoping to marry. And he was worried, well, if he came to Christ, well, that relationship would be over. Can I say that whilst he was in one inquiry room, she was in the other inquiry room, and both were brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And he was able to tell his work colleagues the next day, I've become a Christian. I'm born again. My sins have been forgiven. I'm sure of heaven. What's going on with the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, the circumstances for this woman were not conducive. And I feel for you tonight. I know not where you come from. I know not your circumstances. I know not what community you come out of. But can I say to you that you need to strive to enter in at the straight gate? You need to be prepared to forsake all of those things and to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I do not encourage selfishness in any point of life. Can I say that in the matter of salvation, you need to become the most selfish person on earth? Because you need to get right with God. And regardless of what the husband or the wife or the boyfriend or the girlfriend or the work colleagues would say, regardless of what your school friends or your university friends would say, I would encourage you to seek after Christ tonight. Another reason why we say that this was a most unlikely location is because this woman did not get saved in a church building. She didn't get saved in a church building. No, the Lord Jesus Christ found and saved this woman at the side of Jacob's well. She was not saved in an evangelistic mission. She was not saved as a result to respond at the end of a gospel meeting. She did not get saved at a gospel open-air service. No, this woman got saved at the side of a well. An unlikely place ever to find the Savior. And yet, whenever I read the Word of God, I read of different individuals where the Savior found and saved sinners. I read there in Mark chapter 5 of a demon-possessed man whom Christ saved in the middle of a graveyard. Imagine becoming a Christian in the middle of a graveyard. That's where Christ found him. I read of one in Mark chapter 10, blind Bartimaeus, and he got saved at the side of a road. I read of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. He got saved at the bottom of a sycamore tree. I read of an individual in Acts chapter 10, a man by the name of Cornelius, an army officer, and he got saved at his holiday seaside villa in Caesarea. I read in Acts chapter 16 of a woman who got saved at the side of a river. I read again in Acts chapter 16 of a man who got saved in a prison. All of these people, though they were saved in different places, there was something that was common to them all. They were all under the sound of God's word. They were all saved as a result of being under the influence of the Word of God. And tonight it is no different, because although tonight you're not surrounded by Gothic architecture or stained glass windows or marble floors, yet in this simple preaching house tonight, you're under the influence of the precious Word of God, and that Word can bring faith to your soul and save you by its grace. God, by His grace, I believe in this Word. I believe that this Word is able to break any gospel-hardened sinner in this house. You think you're hard? You think you're a hard man? You think that you're someone that's really the party of alls around whenever you go out at the weekend? You think you're such a man like that? I tell you, I believe that this Word can break the gospel-hardened tonight. Because this Word is described as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. I tell you, I believe that this Word can cut past all the religious facade that you put up and expose you for who you are, a deep-dyed sinner, guilty before God, in trouble with your Maker, because this Word is described as a sharp two-edged sword. And I believe that this Word can warm the coldest backslidden heart, because this Bible is called a fire. And it can warm your heart tonight, because God's Word is well able to save you, even in the most unlikely location. I could ask many an individual where they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thinking about one man in this meeting got saved. He got saved on a milk float. Imagine that. The grace of God within a life. And within the lies, let me say, this woman, she found her Savior at a well. I found my Savior at the side of my bedside. And let me ask you this question: will you find your Savior in this house tonight? Will you find Him in this house tonight? Note secondly with me from this account, not only the unlikely location, I want you to see the unexpectant woman. John 4 in the verse number 6 tells us that the Savior, on reaching Sychar's well, he now sits down. His entourage of disciples, they make their way into the town itself and they go to buy some provisions. And it's whilst they are away that this woman comes out from Sychar to fetch some water, unaware of who she was about to meet. I want you to notice something about this. I want you to notice something about this account, because I want you to notice that before this woman came to the well, I want you to notice that the Savior was already waiting for her. The Savior was already waiting for her. And tonight it is no different. For the Savior is always waiting for the seeking sinner. The Savior, we read there, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And before any sinner ever seeks the Savior is already seeking them. And tonight He's seeking you. He's seeking you. He's seeking you in the gospel. Rest assured that before you ever cross the threshold of the doors of this building tonight, rest assured that God was already here. And He was already waiting for you. And He's been waiting quite some time, hasn't He? He's been waiting quite some time. He's been waiting for you since your childhood days. You heard the gospel from a mother, a Sunday school teacher. You've heard of the Savior's love there from a godly grandmother. And yet you spurned Him then. He was waiting for you in childhood days. He was waiting for you in the teenage years of life, in the 20s, whenever life and that sinful life of unrestrained sin was what all you desired. And yet He spoke to you through sermons and through circumstances. And yet you spurned Him there. He waited for you. In the middle years of life, He's been waiting. And yet family and career and home and circumstances and the possessions and positions of this world, they all clamored out and crowded out spiritual matters. And now you find yourself now possibly in the sunset years of life. And you promised the Savior that you would be a Christian by now this stage. And yet tonight you're still not saved. I tell you, He's been waiting for you. He's been waiting for you. And backslider, He's been waiting for you. Since the day you left Him, He's been waiting for you to return. Let me ask you this question. How long do you think He's going to continue to wait? He's waited. Week after week, year after year, month after month, He's waited. How long do you think He's going to wait for you? How many more times do you think that He'll speak into your life? What if He's nothing more to say to you? What if tonight would be the last night that God in grace would call onto you? He's been waiting for you. And because He is waiting for you tonight here in this meeting, you must seek the Lord while He may be found. And you need to call upon Him while He is near. Because those that seek Him will find Him. And they seek with Him with all their heart. You see, as this woman approached the well, to her it was just like any other day. She didn't expect to meet the Savior. There was no prior appointment with the Son of God that day. She did not realize that He was going to be just passing through. She did not realize that. She just expected to go out that day, get some water, take it back home again, and then go back to the normal 9-to-5 mundane things of life. She never expected to meet the Son of God that day, and yet she did. And tonight you have come into this preaching house tonight, and you haven't expected to meet the Savior. You have maybe come in as a result of some friend or loved one. They've asked you to come into the mission tonight, and you've done that, and now they're going to be off your back, and that's what you expect. They've exhorted you to come along. Maybe a neighbor, maybe a friend has invited you to come and have told you for months now that this gospel mission is happening, and really you've come out of, as it were, to appease them and to satisfy them, but really you have no expectation that you're going to meet the Savior. Can I say that there are individuals in this preaching house tonight and they were just like you. They came to a meeting just like this. And they came in under the sound of God's precious word. And really they had no interest. Really they laughed at the preacher whenever the preacher started to preach. And really they thought he was probably a little bit mad and a little bit eccentric. But They stayed on, and then something happened. As the Word of God was preached, the Spirit of God would come, and He took the Word of God, and He showed men, and He showed that individual their sin, and their guilt, and their shame, and their disgrace. And they showed, the Spirit of God showed them that they were in trouble with God, and as a result of that, conviction of sin entered the soul, and they looked away from themselves and found that there was nothing within themselves that could save them from their sin. And by the end of the meeting, they have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. They never expected to find the Savior, but that night Christ found them. And tonight you may have come into this house not expecting to find Christ. But now, even now, He calls you, meets you, because He's been waiting for you. And this mission has been arranged for you in the gospel. How often it is the case that Christ is found of those that never start out to seek Him. He says of that, "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not." I wonder, are you seeking the Savior tonight? Because He's seeking for you. I see something else about this woman. I see the uncomfortable revelation. There are two things that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to that woman as they conversed with one another whenever they met at the well that day. He revealed to her dissatisfaction. The Savior, in the midst of the conversation with this woman, told her that He could give her living water. Verse number 10, He could give her living water. Her reply to that was, "Sir," verse 15, "Sir, give me this water." I believe that her response was a revelation of her dissatisfaction with what she presently had in life. She wanted what the Savior was offering. And that indicates that she was dissatisfied what she was presently living. You know, folks, until you're dissatisfied with a life of sin, you'll never seek God's salvation. I don't know how people can be bothered heading out at 10 o'clock. I'm usually going to bed at 10 o'clock. But people head out 10, 11 o'clock at night and they don't return to maybe 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't understand. I can't fathom. I did it in my life. I did it. But now looking back, I cannot understand why I did such things. And it wasn't until I was dissatisfied with my life of sin that I sought after Jesus Christ. And I'm praying that God will dissatisfy you with your present lot as a sinner. Now, the world has its wells. It has the wells of pleasure, the wells of lust, the wells of amusements, the wells of possessions, the wells of education, the wells of literature, the wells of arts. But none of these wells can satisfy the longing within the soul. None of those wells can do that. But there is one well. And Isaiah speaks of that in Isaiah chapter 12. It's called the well of salvation. And that well is the well that satisfies. None but Christ can satisfy. And I wonder tonight if you come into this meeting thirsting, not physically, spiritually thirsting. Are you longing, are you craving for peace and rest? Are you longing for pardon and forgiveness? Are you longing for the burden of sin to be rolled away? Well, if you are, come to Jesus Christ. Come to the Savior. He not only showed her dissatisfaction, He showed her depravity or her sinfulness. You see, this offer to give this living water, now stirred this interest within the woman. She says, "Sir, give me this water." And the Savior replies, Go, call thy husband, singular, and come hither." Now you would think that was a very simple request. Well, it was. But not for this woman, because this woman had now been married on 6 different occasions. Whenever Christ said, "Go call thy husband," he was putting his finger on her sin. He was pinpointing her sin. Now, your sin may not be her sin. I don't know what your sin is tonight, but the Spirit of God is well able to pinpoint your sin tonight. And Christ showed her her sin, because the Savior turned round and he says, "That was well said that thou hast no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband." This woman was guilty of wrecking homes in that community. The Savior made a very uncomfortable revelation to that lady that day, and it was this revelation that he knew all about her sin. Jesus Christ knew all about her sin. He had recorded it, he had seen it, and now he was about to expose her every sin. Now listen, sinner, in this meeting, the Spirit of God knows all about your sin. Now you've tried to hide it in the cupboards of life, and you've tried to sweep sin under the carpet, but can I tell you that there's coming a day whenever God is going to open all your cupboards, and he's going to lift all the carpets, and he's going to expose you for who you are, a full-blooded sinner born of Adam's cursed race. What will you do in that day when your sins have not been covered? What will you do in that day when all the secret things will be brought out to the light and you'll be exposed for who you are, a sinner before God? He noticed and he spoke to her about her depravity. And tonight you're a sinner in need of a Savior. But I want you to see in the final instance, I want you to see the unsurprising result of this encounter at the well of Sychar that day. You see, the woman did not deny the charge that was laid against her. She just held up her hands and she said, "Guilty as charged." She owned her sin. She owned her guilt. How do I know that? I know that because she went and confessed Christ to the townsmen that day. What did she say? Verse 29, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She publicly confessed Christ as her Savior. Something happened that day. That woman met the living Savior, and she was changed by the grace of God. She was now doing what Romans chapter 10 and the verse 9 and 10 encourages the new convert to do. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, or with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth is confession made unto salvation. What a change in that woman's life. What a glorious change. That change was unsurprising, because whenever anyone comes into contact with the living Christ, there is always a change. You know, there are folks and they say that they're a Christian. "Preacher, I'm a Christian." And they still smoke like a chimney. They still drink like a fish. They still curse like a tripper. And there's been absolutely no change in their lives. You know, folks, I can say that if you're such an individual, you're an embarrassment to the grace of God. You're an embarrassment to the grace of God. It's like saying that you go out and stand on the town hill road there, and a 40-foot juggernaut lorry traveling at 60 mile an hour comes down that road and hits you and comes into contact with you, and you're not changed by such a contact or such an encounter. Or it's like standing and saying, "Well, I can raise a 3-phase wire and allow thousands of volts to run through me, and I'm not changed by such an encounter." Can I say that you can never meet the living Christ and not be changed? Can't happen. There must be a change within the soul. You cannot have an encounter with the living Christ and not be changed. I care not what profession you have made, and I care not what prayer you have prayed, and I care not what you have done in some other meeting. I care not for those things. All I am concerned about is that a supernatural God has done a supernatural work that has resulted in a supernatural change within your life. And let me ask you, has such a work been done within your soul? Many years ago, on the platform of the Pacific Mission in Chicago, Charles E. Crawford from the American Bible Society rose to give his testimony to the gathered congregation. He had lived a terrible life of sin, just like this woman, and yet just like her, God saved him by his grace and changed his life forever. Crawford told that night how he had entered into full-time Christian service, but his district manager handed him an application form and that was issued by a bonding company, for all employees of that organization had to serve under a bond. He said, "My heart sank, for I knew that in light of my record before conversion, no bonding company would accept the risk." He told the manager his story. The superior officer said that he was sorry, but he was powerless because of that 100-year-old rule that all employees had to be bonded, and thus Crawford would have to look for another job. Broken in heart, Crawford, he stole away into the shipping room and he found relief in prayer. The following week, he was still in that place, and the district manager summoned Crawford to his office and said to that the governing board had met and unanimously had agreed that in spite of the fact that his record was as black as midnight before conversion, since now Calvary covers it all, he was to continue his work serving without bond and with an increased salary. God answered prayer. That night when he testified, there was a woman sitting there. Her name was Mrs. Walter Taylor. She was known as Ma Taylor. She was a noted musician and a worker in the Pacific Garden Mission. She was present at that meeting, and she was so moved by what he said that night that she took the words of Charles and she penned them and she wrote a beautiful hymn. The words are as follows: "Far dearer than all than the world can impart was a message that came to my heart, how that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took them in there, because Calvary covers it all." He said that night that the board had saw that now Calvary covers it all. He was to continue in his work serving with an increased salary. My closing question to you is, does Calvary cover it all? All your sin, all your guilt, all your shame, all your disgrace? If not, my closing invitation to you is the same invitation that this woman gave the men in that city that day. Come, see a man which told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? I trust that if you would only but behold him tonight, that you'll see in him the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. May God bring you to Christ. And may, like this woman, you be made a new creature in Jesus Christ. She was the most unlikeliest of candidates, and yet God saved her that day, made a trophy of God's grace in her life. And maybe tonight you just feel the most unlikeliest of candidates. Can I tell you that salvation is for you? Come as a sinner. Come and receive him. and be pardoned from your sins. May God bring you to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Let's unite in prayer, please. Tonight, the gospel invitation is for you. He invites you to come. And I invite you to come. Maybe you're not a Christian, and you would love to be a Christian. You've thought about it for weeks, maybe years. Well, can I help you tonight? I want to do that. And so I make myself available at the door for you. I'll be there to shake your hand. Could you say to me, "Preacher, I want to speak to you tonight. I'm not a Christian, but I need Calvary to cover it all. I need my sins to be covered. I'm in trouble with God. And I know it. And I'm just like this woman. Sin grips me, and I don't know how to break free. Well, thank God, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Christ will set you free. But you must forsake your sin." And so I want to try and help you tonight. So please make your need known. Speak to another Christian. They'll be delighted to point you to Christ. Make sure of this. Make sure of it. Don't delay any longer. Don't delay. But come to the Savior. Our Father in heaven, we're aware that we need more of thy help, Lord. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the gospel. We thank thee how Christ changed this woman, and how thou art able to change the lives of men and women in this town, in this community. O God, do it for Jesus' sake, we pray. Turn men and women from their sin. Bring them to know peace and pardon in Christ, we pray. O God, we pray that thou wilt separate us in thy love and in thy favor. And Lord, we pray that tomorrow evening that you'll bring us out again to hear the gospel. Lord, may we know salvation visiting this house, because we pray this in Jesus' precious and lovely and holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you.